This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligny Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Getting ready for baseball this evening. A 5:40 first pitch on the road. The Cardinals will take on the Cincinnati Reds. There's a pregame show of 4:45 today, so we've got some baseball action happening tonight on 104.1 FM and the free Odyssey app. Right now, time to talk ball for a little bit. We've got on this show today Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, Chris Ranji on the Gas House Gang. With you until 1 o'clock, we'll talk to Danny Wexelman from Cardinals TV, who will join us just after 12:30. Gentlemen, we sit here with a record of 7 games over .500. Cardinals will start Kyle Leahy tonight, 5-3 with a 3.94 ERA. And this is after losing the series to the Pirates at home. And I know that the story of the week really has been about the atmosphere at the ballpark, and it all starts with the Stephen F. Austin baseball team, which this whole thing happened, you know, starting last weekend, where they all took their shirts off and the whole tarps off movement started here in St. Louis, at least in MLB level. It started here and it has spread around the country. So even though they lost 2 of 3 to the Pirates, this has been a pretty fun week at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, it really has, for a lot of different reasons. You know, you had the fans that really got involved. The weather was better. I'm not sure if the play has been as good as we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
And I think this is part of what the season looks like, where you're going to have those moments where you don't necessarily hit the wall, but you're just not as tight as we've seen them in the past. So I think this road trip is certainly going to be a good indicator on where you're at season-wise, because Cincinnati is a team that thinks they're in it, just like the Cardinals do. And their ballpark is one that if you make a mistake, man, it could turn out to be a really big inning for the other guy.
Yeah, I hope Great American Ballpark unlocks the Cardinals a little bit offensively, because you can score a lot of runs there and you can hit home runs for sure. This team I don't think we're talking about this quite as much as we should. They were a really, really good offensive club, say, going into the Brewers series. They were tied for 4th in Major League Baseball in home runs, and they're not there anymore. And there's been some moments. They had a 6-run output against the Padres. They had a 6-run output at one point against the A's. They had that first game against the Pirates where they hit the 4 home runs and they had 9 runs. But generally speaking, since they went on that road trip starting in San Diego, offensively, they have not been what they have been for most of the season offensively, and a lot of that is connected to home runs. The home run numbers have started to come back a little bit. So this team has got to find a way to score runs. I think we are starting to see right now where that top four gives you something. The rest of the lineup does not as much. Now Nathan Church is going to the injured list. Maybe Lars Nootbaar is going to help when he arrives, but they've just got to find a way to score a few more runs, because it hasn't been great now for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? You hit it on the head. the first four in the order have been pretty consistent. But once you get to the fifth spot through 9, it has not been anything that's scary. And my concern is, does it start to affect a Jordan Walker or Alec Burleson, where they're trying to do too much and all of a sudden they're not getting as many strikes in the strike zone? They expand their own strike zone, and next thing you know, they're getting themselves out.
Yeah, this,
I hope not.
Yeah, what's interesting about them, and you're right, in terms of home runs, I think they're 22nd in baseball over the last couple of weeks, so the power has kind of gone away. They're not really drawing walks. They're not striking out a ton compared to other teams, but they're just not finding ways to get on base enough. And that is obviously a huge part of the problem here. I think we all kind of figured that something like this would happen at some point of the season, where the offense would go away a bit. Now it's a matter of, does it come back? Do they find ways to start scoring runs again?
Yeah, I think they do. You know, again, I think it's part of the season. It's part of a learning process that you go through. It'd be different if you saw guys who'd never done it before with any consistency, and you said, well, you know, he's never done it anywhere else. Why are you expecting him to do it now? we've seen this. We've seen guys produce like this. And I guess if there's one guy who we haven't seen before in this position, it would be J.J. Weatherholt, but he's gotten off to a very good start. We now know that Jordan Walker can hit good pitching. The question is, will he continue to see good pitching? Will he see teams that are just pitching around him? And we've seen where Alec Burleson has the ability not only to pull the ball, but going the other way is something that has really opened up his repertoire as far as offense is concerned. So, yeah, I feel good about those guys. It's the other ones that I'm a little concerned about, whether they start to press a little too much or whether they're overmatched. And you have some guys who I still think are trying to prove themselves as being big league worthy on a semi-regular basis, let alone a regular basis.
I openly wonder, like, at what point in the season do we get where the Cardinals are playing good enough baseball that changes are looked at, whether it's just bringing somebody up from the minor leagues. And, you know, one of those things is there's a lot of dudes at AAA, and I don't know if they can help the big league club or not, and there's people making the decisions who know a lot more about that than I do, but there's some guys there who are putting up numbers, and if you're struggling offensively and you feel like one of these guys at AAA can help you, but they're not on the 40-man roster, this has been a year where this team is exceeding all these outside expectations, so you weren't thinking that we were going to have a situation where we're talking about the team maybe moving on from some organizational depth for some short-term gains, even if it's just coming internally. And I openly wonder at what point do those conversations start to get a little bit louder with the Cardinals. I don't think we're there yet. I know how much they value the depth of the organization. They don't want to lose players for nothing. It's good that we're talking about this because it means they're playing good baseball, but they got to find a way to score some more runs.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to go in another direction on this. I think you have some guys who are playing reasonably well in the minors, but I think that we're not as deep, in my opinion, as maybe some believe. And I'll give you a good example. Who's the next third baseman? Who's the next shortstop? You know, we have one outfielder that we know in Joshua Baez who accounted for himself reasonably well. I think other than catching, I think there's still a lot of concern, holes, or just not sure about with regard to true development within the organization. And I'll even take it to another level when it comes to pitching. You know, we preached a lot that we were looking for swing and miss. I don't know if there's a swing and miss guy yet that could come up to the Cardinals and help this team this season. Now, maybe there is someone for next year. But I still think there's a gap between players who can help you and players who you're still evaluating. And while we want to rush guys to the show, I get it. But I also think you want to be careful that if you really need a player who has a little bit more experience, you need to showcase some guys you're willing to part company with within your minor league system in order to get that bat or that extra arm you may need if you think you're going to be in this thing down the stretch.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that, Claves. I guess the profile of guy that I'm talking about, the minor leagues, are the guys who probably don't have long-term futures with the organization. I'm not talking about Joshua Baez. Let him stay at AAA as long as he needs to stay at AAA until you feel like this guy is ready. I'm not. It certainly is not rushing, but we're going to see Brian Torres, and I'm excited to see. He's put up really good numbers at Memphis this year. They added him to the 40-man roster the offseason. Is he a guy who can help this team win games? At some point, do they give another look at Nelson Velasquez? He has really turned it back on. He doesn't have a long-term future with the team. Blaze Jordan has put up big numbers at AAA, even though he's still relatively young. I don't think he profiles out as somebody who's going to be an everyday in the lineup kind of guy for the Cardinals in the future. So I'm not clamoring for these guys to get called up, but I do think at some point in time, if you're not scoring runs and you are continuing to stay in the conversation or, you know, for the division or for a playoff spot, you look at these guys and say, is there any chance that these guys can make the major league roster better? Is there any chance these guys can make the bench better? Well, if you got to add them to the 40-man roster, that means you might lose somebody. At what point in the season do we get to where they're more easily able to stomach that, if that makes sense?
Flag day.
Okay.
Because by then you know who you are. Yeah. I mean, because by then you know who you are. You know what your bench looks like. You know what your rotation looks like. You know, we had a conversation with Ollie the other day about the narrowing of the gap in your bullpen from the guys who were late additions or back end guys who were not in high leverage situations? How close are they being part of your core from your closer to your setup guys? And the fact that your starting rotation is giving you more than five in the third innings, you know, how close are those groups coming together where you can really have a true assessment of what you look like? And then not only that, and what you're going to need. So I still sit on June 14th as far as a day where you know who you are because you've seen it all. And there's some guys who have counted for themselves reasonably well. And there are other guys who you might have to say, let's move on because we've seen enough.
Yeah, you know, I always feel like, and June 14th, it's a perfectly fine date to feel like you kind of have an idea what the team is. I always feel like, you know, once you get to the end of May, and maybe there are exceptions. And I think this could be one of those exceptions this season, this particular team, because it's so young. Maybe another couple of weeks makes a difference. But I don't know that it makes a difference when you get to the trade deadline. I know Matt and I have talked about this. I'm not exactly sure, Klabes, if we have discussed this. But if they are in a position to add something at the deadline, and they are, you know, within striking distance of the top of the division, or they are in a wild card position at that moment, even though this season is, this was not supposed to be the year they're competitive. This was a build-up year. Even with that being the case, do they need to reward the clubhouse with some kind of move? Do they need to tell those players, hey, you know, you've done really well for us, and we believe in you enough, so this is the reward. We're going to bring some reinforcements in. Is that necessary to show them that they will support them when they need to?
You know, it's a good question. I think you can probably say we believe in you guys enough to stay with most of you. Now, obviously, there's some guys who need to be better. But I don't know if they're going to push that button that soon. I think they want to let guys go through the whole process. And, you know, whether you win or lose, as you said, most people didn't think they were going to compete this year. So it's not something like, oh, man, our window is closing.
Right.
No, the window is starting to open even more. But if you go through this process with guys who you think are part of what you look like next year and the year after, you probably let them do it. But then you have other guys where you say, okay, this guy can't help us. We've given him every opportunity, and it's just not working. And at that point, that's a guy you probably put in a deal. But if you put him in a deal, you better make sure you have somebody who can fill that spot.
Yeah, and sometimes telling the clubhouse you believe in them is not moving on from somebody. If this team's not competitive, Riley O'Brien's getting moved. I'm not saying that, and it still may happen, even if the team is competitive. But if that doesn't happen, that's a message. And there's a bunch of different guys. We can talk about Dustin May, and we can talk about a bunch of guys. So sometimes the message about the belief isn't about adding, but it's about not subtracting as much.
Yeah, you've talked about this.
You know, but let me follow up on that real quick. I know that at the beginning of the year, we picked up Dustin May, and you brought up Riley O'Brien. You know, if we're going to move him, we better have somebody who can fill that spot, because you don't want to go into next season saying, man, we need another arm. We need to have a legitimate closer. You don't want to be talking about what you're looking for going into next season. You should already have that. And I think one of the guys who we thought was going to be part of this more was Matt Swanson. We thought he was going to be one of those guys who was either going to be a setup or an occasional closer. Hasn't worked out for him yet. We thought Ryan Stanek was going to be a little bit more influential. It hasn't worked out like that. So you better make sure you have some people within the organization or somebody you can pick up along the way that can fill that void if you want to contend. Because if you don't have starting pitching and if you don't have a closer, then we're wasting all of our time.
Let us know what you think by sending us a message, a comment on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're at KMOX Sports on all of those accounts. The Gas House Gang runs there live, and you can watch it. You can also text in at 314. Why did I forget the phone number?
436.
436-7900. You know, I've said the number
it's
a million
been
times.
Same, Chris, for like 60 years
what
now.
What in
so
the hell?
Thank you.
How did you know I was about to give out
and
the contest
right,
line?
Look left, Runge. Look left. It's on the computer in front of you.
It is. I never look over here. You're right. 437. And I never give this one. 800-925-1120.
I don't think that exists anymore. I don't think
does
that
does it?
No.
We'll try it during
it
the break.
Somebody call. Let's see if it works.
I'll give it a try. 314-436-7900. Gas House Gang on KMOX. I'm losing it.
I'm Alec Burleson, and you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
I'm happy to report that, yes, 800-925-1120 does still work. So for some reason, at KMOX, we're still...
Man, am I glad to know that.
I mean, there's no long distance anymore, is there?
Somebody out there has a cell phone plan that still has long distance
okay.
on it.
I didn't even think
they got their plan like somebody, in 1994, and they haven't changed it.
And somebody's got a rotary dial phone on their wall kitchen, too.
Oh, man, I love the rotary phone.
With the long cord so you can go to the other side of the kitchen?
That's exactly right. Cardinals tonight, they will play against the Reds on the road. And so, fellas, we were talking a lot about the offense and the way things have gone. In terms of pitching, the starting rotation last couple of weeks has been okay. I mean, you're in terms of ERA, you're close to the top 10, just outside of it, compared to other teams in baseball. As we look at this rotation, which I think, you know, going into the season, there are a lot of number three guys and four guys and fives in this Cardinals rotation. I think it's held up okay. What do you see as you're looking at this team getting close to the end of May?
Well, you know, it's a good question because I think, hey, anyone told you McGreevy's ERA was going to be under three and under 2.5, I think we would all look at you a little differently. Pallante has pitched much better than I think we anticipated, considering how things ended for him last season. Kyle Leahy, to me, continues to improve with each start, not just because of his record, but just the little things he's being able to add to his ability to be a starter. I think if there's one that's a concern, might be Matthew Liberatore, who, you know, looks really good early, but that second and a half, third time through the order, it's that one inning that does him in, and he gets gassed. And that's something, as a guy who you considered your opening day starter, he's got to be better at, because we know he has that kind of stuff where he could dominate a game. But right now, it's just not coming together for him.
It's not, and he just runs out of gas at random moments, and there's almost no way to telegraph it. All of a sudden, there's just an inning where everything's going fine, and maybe that pitch count starts to build up, or maybe there's a single at bat that kind of knocks him off his whatever, and it just sort of happens. He's really his last start is a great example. He was just rolling along. He looked like the guy that you think that he can be, the guy that he was supposed to be as the opening day starter. So that's in there. I think that next step for him, and I'm just kind of parroting what you just said, Claves, but the next step for him is finding a way to avoid those landmines that all of a sudden turn what looked like a really, really good start into something where he's not even making it through five.
And you have to get him through five. I mean, we're at a point now in the season where if I'm not getting six innings at least out of my starters, then I'm going to look for somebody else who can give it to me. You know, the five innings doesn't work because it just puts such a tax on your bullpen. And the Cardinals haven't had to go to the minors very often to bring up help, but that's going to happen at some point if we don't get guys who can give you six, if not seven innings.
So
I mean, the problem is that every team has that. The average major league start right now is 5 1/3 innings. So you can go get rid of dudes who aren't giving you six innings, but you're not going to find anybody who can, because nobody in baseball is given the it's. So, and I mean, think about it. There's a handful of guys out there that will give you six or seven. If the average start across Major League Baseball is 5 1/3, that means for every dude who's giving you seven, there's a guy out there giving you four. So, yeah, it's a problem in baseball right now.
Yeah, it is. And you know how it's the biggest problem? You had a guy who won a Cy Young Award last year who didn't pitch 200 innings. So that should tell you right there, hey, if we can get you through five innings, maybe six, or go through the order twice, it maybe 2.5 times, then that's considered an ace. And, you know, the way we evaluate pitching has changed so much that it's almost insulting to guys who pitched before this generation of pitchers. And I'm not indicting today's pitcher. It's just the mindset and what people who give direction in how they feel how pitching works. And they have numbers to support it. I mean, let's face it, third time through the order, there's some hitters that are killing starting pitchers. So the question is, what should that approach be the third time around? Does that mean that you don't show them everything in the first two times in the order? Does that mean you bear down and become more aggressive? I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at it. But when you look at how pitchers are valued today compared to 5 years ago, maybe 10, there's a big difference that really is concerning.
And teams are using openers a lot more than they used to. Cardinals starting pitching is a little better than average in terms of innings that they have thrown this year. So it's not like they're too far off what teams typically do. They're better than most. But there are some teams that get a little bit more length out of their starting pitching. I am interested, before we hit the break here, with Liberatore, he is on pace to throw about the same amount of innings that he threw last year. If it continues the way it does, or way it has been, he was at 151 last year. He's at 51 right now. Yeah, so
that's not enough.
And I thought he'd be built up more by now. I mean, enough to be able to handle this load.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. And there was a time where your opening day starter was considered your ace of your staff. I'm not sure if that can be said right now about Liberatore. And as you mentioned, Chris, if he's on the same pace that he was last year, that's not starter, that's not ace material. You have to have a guy who can give you more than that. And maybe he will on the back end. We don't know. You know, every pitcher goes through a little bit of a rut where it just doesn't work. So maybe this next outing, he will be back on track to give you more. But you have to have guys who you consider front end of your rotation guys. They have to give you more than 150 innings. I'm sorry.
I know we got to get to break, but just real quick on this, I think aces have become unicorns. There's 4, 5, 6, 7 yeah. guys across Major League Baseball who are true aces. The vast majority of baseball teams do not have a guy on the roster that we would classically consider an ace.
Right, and when that starts to matter is in the postseason. I mean, you can get through a regular season like this, but you've got to have one of those dudes when you get to the playoffs. Matt Pauly, you've got Redbird Rush Hour. No, not today, because the pregame show is at 4:45.
We're doing something at 4 o'clock. Bernie and Kevin and I will be on at 4 o'clock.
Oh, great. Talking Cardinals baseball at 4, and then the pregame show at 4:45, and then the first pitch after that right here on KMOX. We'll be listening, Matt Pauly.
All right.
Klabes and I will stick around a little bit longer when we come back from Cardinals TV. Danny Wexelman will join the show. It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Now, the Cardinals Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
From the stretch, a 1-2 pitch for Jordan Walker. That is lined into left, a base hit, and the Cardinals get a run. Burleson stops at second. Reynolds comes up throwing for third base.
In a moment, we will have a conversation with Danny Wexelman of Cardinals TV, sideline reporter, pre- and post-game host, as we discuss the Cardinals with you, Mike Claiborne, Chris Ranji, on the Gas House Gang. Klabes, we really didn't even talk about the what was the biggest story of this past week regarding the Cardinals, and that is the energy in the park because of the tarps off movement, which the Cardinals did ultimately embrace by putting together that section in right field so people can, it's now general admission out there, and they are encouraging people to get out there and take your tarps off. And if you have had a ticket for that section, they will move you to a different section unless you really want to sit out there and take your shirt off. I know that some people are probably tired of it. I'm not. I love it. I love the fact that's happened. I hope that when the homestand returns, when they come back from the road trip, that it picks right back up again, because it's something that's been missing from the ballpark in the last few years. It's something that I think this team really needed, and the fan base has sort of felt like, and I'm not meaning to speak for everybody here, but it does seem as if there are people who've just felt like it was stale. Like what was going on at Busch was a little bit stale, and it's not just the product on the field. I think everybody just felt like a new direction was needed. We've seen that new direction happen. They are heading that way. And then you've had what's happened over the last week with all these guys, the Stephen F. Austin baseball team, you know, starting this whole movement thing, and then the energy that has come to the ballpark as a result. It just seems like everything feels like it's moving in the right direction. We do now have Danny Wexelman with us from Cardinals TV, joins the show. What's going on, Danny?
Oh, what's up, dude? How are you?
Doing okay. And, you know, we Klabes and I were just talking a little bit about this this tarps off thing. And I know that that's been the story of the Cardinals for the last week, is what happened last weekend and then it really picking up during the week and Cardinals fans running with it. Even though the Stephen F. Austin baseball team had to go back to Texas, you know, Cardinals fans have really embraced it and the team has embraced it. I think this is a very cool thing.
I think that like what I love about it the most is that it was organic and it came from a group of guys who, first of all, like anyone who plays club baseball is playing for the love of the game. You know what I mean? Like
That's
these
right.
are like, JUCO bandits, like you just love the game so much. Like this is even lower than that. You don't get a ton of support and love. And for them to come out and decide that they wanted to just take a moment and like have a moment and make a moment, I think. And then the way that the team embraced them, like I say this all the time, like the sport needs to make sure that it's in good hands. And we want to preserve the game, right? Like when Klabes share stories, it's like my favorite story time. But we also have to make sure that the next group of kids and parents and people who are playing the sport right now in high school and college, that they come back and they're fans. And I think that this actually helps promote that and ensure that and that they're there for the love of the game. Like it's extremely special. And I feel so like grateful that it started. I mean, I know it's happened before, but it's revived back in St. Louis. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And you know what, Danny, we see some of this like in college basketball where they're under the net, they try to distract the guy shooting free throws and you have your crazy yeah. sections. But, you know, in baseball, I think the closest thing I've seen to it is if you've ever been to the Caribbean and watched some of the ball down there, it's kind of a party atmosphere. I thought the biggest key for it was that not only did the players embrace it, but certainly the Cardinal manager, Oliver Marmol, embraced it. And he was just like, look, man, this is what we need. We need to have more energy. We need to have fun. And just the whole relationship he and the ball club developed with these kids. And now it's going to incite even more young people to want to get involved and feel like they have some sort of ownership in the outcome of the game.
Absolutely. And I think to your point, one of my favorite places I see it is in college baseball. And in college baseball, like there are sections of kids who are doing wild and wacky things. And, you know, Texas A&M is the originator of ball one, ball two, ball three, kind mm-hmm. of just being those gnats. You know, there's so many special things about baseball in its purest form. And so I think that number one, like bringing that to the big league level, lean all the way in to an experience like that. And for Ollie Marmol and his family to say, hey, we're going to buy your tickets too. And we're going to bring you in the clubhouse. I have never in my career seen a big league manager from any professional team, a coach from any team, bring in a group of kids who were having a good time at the ballpark to the clubhouse and allow them in to a sacred space, by the way. That's a sacred space for the team. I've never, ever seen that. And I think that there's messaging out there right now like, hey, we are earning the fans' trust back. We are earning the fans back into the stadium. And we want you to know like we're serious about it and we're investing in it. And when your manager invests in your fans, who, by the way, are the most important people, especially with a lockout looming at the end of this year, like fans don't get a say in that, but fans are the ones that suffer the most along with everyone else in the sport. But like the fans are the heartbeat of sports in general. So to see that moment happen, that's a cultural, like viral moment that brands, I think, would pay millions to have happen. I saw Emo's Pizza joining in. I saw Buffalo Wild Wings joining in. Those are things that you are desperate to have. and very rarely get to see. And it was as authentic, Klaibs, to your point, that it could be.
Danny Wexelman from Cardinals TV is with us. And I know we brought up manager Oliver Marmol here. And this is a conversation we've had a lot, that he just seems to be the right person for this particular job with trying to help these younger players grow. I am also wondering if he's more than just a young player's manager. I think he's better than that. I don't think he's getting enough credit. How do you see Oliver Marmol?
Yeah, I see him as a really high IQ, high baseball IQ, but very high EQ, emotional intelligence. And not everybody has both of those skills. And when I say EQ and emotional intelligence, he's very in tap and in tune with his players and what they need and what they don't need and how to communicate with them and how to maybe motivate them or speak to them in a way that they need in that moment. And not every manager does that. Not every manager probably feels like he has to do it. But I think that, like, the hands-on approach and also trusting your staff, like, Ollie trusts his staff and the manpower he has, and he's understood how to maximize what he's got. And I think that when you are counted out or when people have a perception of you, as long as you know what's going on the inside of your clubhouse and with your staff, and as long as everyone is bought in, like, he has done a really great job, not just managing what you see on the field, but behind the scenes. It's like a duck. You know, it's like a duck in water, guys. Their feet are going 8 million miles an hour under the water, but above water, calm, cool, collected. Like, underwater, like, Ollie is managing a lot of different aspects of this game, and it's a lot of new technology and trying to get the most out of young players who, you know, they have a lot on their minds when it comes to how they want to approach the game and what information and technology they want to use. So, yeah, I think a lot of big league managers deserve more credit, but Ollie in this particular situation, now being able to, I think, express more transparently the situation here in St. Louis and what they're working with, I think that has also kind of opened eyes. But anytime you get a manager who feels like he's, like, for the people, you know, by the people, so to speak, I think that it's an easy way to connect with the team and say, you know what, I want to go out and watch this team because I like the way that Ollie Marmol manages.
Well, and, you know, I think you throw in the fact that you touched on his staff. These are guys he's known from the day he broke into professional baseball himself, whether they played together or whether they were coached by somebody. The fact that they all know and understand what's going on because they're teaching and they're also coaching. And for a lot of these players, these are the only guys they've ever had. I mean, it's not like we had a guy who was playing in Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or somewhere else. Most of these guys grew up in the organization. So this is what they know and this is what they believe in. And with this ball club, everybody's getting a chance to play. Mm-hmm. This isn't a situation where a guy shows, well, I don't know if I'm going to play or not. You know, they didn't give me a shot. No, no, no. Everybody's getting a chance to play for one reason or another. So if it works, hooray for us. If it doesn't work, then, you know, you got to look in the mirror and wonder what didn't you do in order to qualify yourself for more playing time or more opportunity. So I think it's a perfect match. I think you're going to run into a little bit of a roadblock here. I think right now, I'm not saying this team is going through a funk, but Danny, we've seen them play better than what we've seen, let's say, over the last 4 or 5 days. And I'm anxious to see how this transpires going into Cincinnati and being challenged on the road. They've been very good on the road this year. This is going to be a good test against Cincinnati to see if this is just temporary funk or is this something we need to raise a concern about.
Yeah. Okay. So two things. I want to hit on just that first part about the staff and the culture there. And I think that something that's missing and underrated in baseball in particular is just fundamentals and being sound and being able to execute the game in its purest form and throw away the analytics and stats and have some feel. I think what people maybe don't see that would surprise them is, you know, the information these guys get before the game, and this is the matchup, and this is what this piece of paper says about when you throw a lefty against this batter. It's very specific, right? They get all this information, but you have to have feel, and you have to be able to understand, hey, we have to hit a sacrifice fly here. We have to hit behind the runner, and there's a concerted effort, I think, in this organization to check those boxes and execute day after day. And so to this next point, Klaibs, I think what I'm seeing seeing is just a bit of regression to the mean, right? Which is going to happen. I think that right now, like the first month and a half of the season, the team, the offense, I think was firing. The pitching staff was following up behind. Now I see the pitching staff, the starters, and the relievers in particular, they are starting to hit their stride, and you see the offense cooling off. They're just regressing. I think teams have identified, oh, actually, we do need to maybe make better plans against these guys because they're doing damage in ways we weren't anticipating. And so the key is, how do the Cardinals then adjust before someone can adjust to them, right? That's the cat and mouse game they play all season long. And, you know, Cincinnati has struggled mightily in May. They're one of the worst pitching staffs, if not the worst, in the league. And so their offense is good, but the pitching staff isn't. This is a time for St. Louis to capitalize and try to get their groove back with home runs, with some power moments I think they can capitalize on. Milwaukee, though, Claves, will be a tall task. Milwaukee is a team that can win the World Series. They're a World Series contender right now. So that's going to be a taller task, but a great litmus test for St. Louis.
Yeah, the Cardinals right now are in the midst of a 12-game stretch where they're playing all the division opponents. They started 1-2 with the Pirates, got the Reds tonight. They'll have the Brewers and the Cubs coming up as well. Still, Danny, the only division in baseball where everybody's over 500. So,
can you believe it? The darlings of baseball are in the middle of America. I love it.
That's great. Danny Wexelman, we will be watching tonight. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me always, guys. Enjoy your Friday.
Thank you, Danny.
Danny Wexelman, Cardinals TV, with us on KMOX. So, yes, the Cardinals did lose the series. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Pirates. Now it's the Reds on the road. And I told you, never going to count out the Brewers again. They're back in first place. We're not yet to the end of May. Not to the end of May yet, but there they are atop the division, Claves.
And you know what? Every time they are, you scratch your head and figure out why. And how? Because they don't have those household names. And, you know, they only have 6 homegrown guys in their organization that are playing. So where are they getting these players from?
A little bit more to go on the Gas House Gang. Mike Claiborne, Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Now back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Chesterfield Fence and Deck and Budweiser
on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Got just about a minute or two left on the Gas House Gang. Mike Claiborne, Chris Ranji, and this week it's starting to look, Claves, like the men's basketball schedule at St. Louis is going to really be an improvement over the year before. We got the news earlier this week that the Billikens have put DePaul on the schedule. None of this is confirmed official, but there is multiple people reporting on all of these that they will add St. Mary's. They're going to add Mizzou. We know about that game that's going to happen at Enterprise Center. High Point, Grand Canyon, potentially Stanford or Arizona State. So it really does look like the one criticism that the Billikens got last season was that they didn't have a good non-conference schedule. Well, they have dramatically improved that, it seems.
Yeah, they really have. And that's a good thing for everybody. The fans will certainly be able to come out and see good teams. I haven't heard about Principia yet and whether they're going to be back or not. I know that was one that they caught a lot of heat about. But overall, I like it.
D6, wasn't it?
Exactly. I mean, no, they were club. It was almost club basketball.
Right.
But, you know, the bottom line is strengthening the schedule, I think, helps everyone. And I think it also makes a statement because I believe these Power Four conferences are going to walk away from the NCAA. And I want to make sure St. Louis is in a conference that they're going to have a chair when the music stops. And I think this is a good indicator that they're moving in that direction. So kudos to Josh Schertz and Chris May for putting this together, and it can only get better.
That's right. And I cannot wait for that Mizzou game. I've already put in my ticket request for that Mizzou game.
You may need more than a request to get a ticket for that one. Yeah,
oh, man.
You better know somebody.
That's going to be tough. Claves, enjoy the baseball this weekend, and we will talk next week, man.
Can't wait. Have a great weekend and have a safe holiday weekend as well.
That's right. Enjoy your Memorial Day and be safe out there, whatever it is you do. If you're traveling, if you're not traveling, staying here in town, please be safe. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. For Mike Claiborne, I'm Chris Ranji. If you missed the Gas House Gang or anything on it, go find us, KMOX.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back on Monday. Nope, take that back. We'll be back on Tuesday. Cardinals baseball happens Monday afternoon on 104.1 FM KMOX.